Now you've heard a lot of our story. You've heard, you know, you've heard Kim's story. You've heard a lot of my story and Steve's story and such. And of course, you know, a lot of our story is the ups and downs. And, you know, I can remember different times. Like one time, for example, Steve and I drove in the Geo from West Orange, New Jersey, up to Ithaca, New York. You know, about a 4.5-hour drive in early December one year to get no-showed. Nobody showed up, just our new distributor. We brought him out, had a bite to eat and stuff, tried to just salvage his attitude a little bit, got back in the car, looked at each other, and we laughed, you know. And when we laughed, you know, I mean, it wasn't really that funny, but we knew this. We knew that, you know, like you talk about that 80-20 rule and stuff, a lot of the 80% is the people who weren't going to the top. Something like that could just knock them right out of the business. So the way we figured it was like this. Every time that something negative happened, every time something happened that could discourage you or get you knocked out of the business, if you stayed, you were separating yourself out from the masses. You know, and that's what you're doing, even by listening to this tape and listening to these stories. But, you know, just like we have our own story, if we had quit right then and there, that would have been a terrible story. You know, it would be a horrible story.
Well, Mike, the way I saw the 80-20 rule is that it worked in a few different ways. You know, obviously, 20% of the people we've heard make 80% of the money. Well, I figured that's okay, but I don't want to be average. You know, I want to be part of the top 20 of the top 20. And we started looking at the top people in our company. What did they do? How did they dress? How did they show up? How did they talk to people? How did they shake hands? All those kind of things. So we started to really study what the top 20% of the top 20% and realize that just the same way, the top 4% make the top 96% of the incomes. And we said, you know what, if we can separate ourselves out one more time. And so when we ran into obstacles like that, you know, when we drove 4 or 5 hours in the snow, we didn't get home till 6 a.m. That next day. You know, we had two options. Number one is we could quit. Number one, we could move forward. And if we were going to move forward, we could move forward with a good attitude or a bad attitude. So it didn't just make sense to move forward with a good attitude. And that's what we did. And, you know, whenever I decided, or whenever I was faced with a challenge, I looked at it a couple of different ways. Number one, I said to myself, this is going to be great for my story. If I ever get 5 or 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes in front of a big audience of 5 or 10,000 people, I'm going to tell this story. And so even the worst stories, I said, I'm going to make money on those stories. And I did. I make money every day. I don't still drive the Geo, but I make money on that Geo story every single day. And Kim, you're the same way. I know you used to drive a car that was much worse than the Geo. In fact, it was different colors, I believe.
Oh, it sure was. I don't even remember what make it was because the make of the name of the car was off. And it was a blue car, and it had rust on the bottom, so that's why it was two-toned. But the worst part of it was, of course, I lived in Canada. I lived in Toronto, so it gets mighty cold in the wintertime, and I had to literally undo the window on the driver's side to even get out. I had to, you know, get the door handle from the outside just to get out. So, I've been through my challenges and things, but, there's so many gems that we pick up from this industry when we go out to different seminars and different things. And here's something that maybe will help you, especially at the very beginning when you're getting those doubts in your mind, or when you're getting so many no's from so many people and it's really, really depressing for you. Well, here's what somebody said to me at the very beginning when I started. They said, you know what, Kim, why don't you do this? Why don't you do me a favor, and as soon as you get 100 no's, come back and talk to me. And I said, isn't that interesting? And he basically went on to say, well, if you get 100 no's, I guarantee you you're going to be successful. So what I say to you is, when somebody says no to you, say, thank goodness you're number 5. I'm moving on. I can't wait till I get number 6. So those are just a couple. That's just one little thing that you can do when you get a no. Don't be depressed. Just name that no as a number and move on to the next one.
You know, another gem or another concept that I embraced is treating it like a business. And many times you might have heard that in a training or a seminar and you go, well, what does that mean? And I just translated it into, hey, let's take this thing seriously. You know, treat it like a hobby, it's going to pay you like a hobby. Treat it like a business, it's going to pay you like a business. And I always looked at it as, hey, every decision I make is either working for me or it's working against me. Little things like when you joined your company, did you get business cards or did you wait and see how it goes so you don't waste your money on business cards in case it doesn't go well? So obviously, if you don't get business cards, that's just one example of not treating it like a business. In other words, not taking it seriously. So that, for me, was a major thing. Somebody once told me to write myself a check for $500,000 and to post it on my mirror. So I did that. And, you want to make sure that you don't sign it so no one can find that and cash that if you got some money laying around. Just kidding. But I did that, and I took it seriously. And every day when I looked in the mirror, I said, what if? What if I had invested $500,000? Would I make that next phone call? Would I shave and go to the meeting when I didn't feel like it? Would I spend my own money, my own hard-earned money, to go to the company conventions? If I had paid $500,000 to get into a business, absolutely, I would have. And when I first got started in the business, Mike had some background in the seminar business. He understood the importance of setting goals. And man, there's one thing that I think would help everybody if you just got good at one skill, and that's writing down your goals. And I know even most of the people listening to this today, probably you couldn't produce written goals if we asked you for them. But one thing that we just got fanatical about is we posted our goals everywhere. And Kim, you were the same way, because I came to visit you up in Toronto. And Mike, I know you're the same way. But everywhere, when you turn on our cell phone, it says, I'm going to whatever position, or I'm going to make this much money this month. We were just fanatical because we believed in something called spaced repetition. We believed in reading the same book over and over because you could get different ideas out of it. We believed in listening to different tapes over and over because the more you heard it, you might be at different spaces, different spots in your life, and it would make different points at different times.
You know, Steve, I mean, that's so right. You know, when you're talking about treating like a business, you know, if you're running a business, one of the things you have is a business plan. And that means it's written down. That means it's on paper. In the network marketing industry, that plan doesn't have to be complicated, but it needs to be written down, and it needs to be reviewed constantly. I know we get up in the morning, we read over our goals every morning over coffee, and we share them with each other, and then we go off and work the phones or something and do what we do, and we come back sporadically and meet with each other and review what happened so far, always updating those goals. You know, I had a teacher, a mentor of mine named Robert Fritz years ago, and Robert gave a talk one time about taking authority for your life. And as he was giving this talk, talking about taking authority, I was writing down the word authority, and I realized that right there in the word authority was the word author. That you and me, we're the authors of our own lives. You know, if you're going to be the author of your own life, if you want the next chapter to be different than the chapter before, first of all, you turn a clean page, but then you've got to write that chapter. You have to know what's the theme going to be, you know? I mean, I love this. I mean, when we got involved, I said, you know, I thought, you know, the name of the next book that I'm writing is Mike and Steve Get Rich, you know, and it's just the chapters along the way. And just like any good novel, just like any good book, success just doesn't come in the first chapter. You've got to actually go through what you've got to go through to get where you're going.
You know, one of my goals when I first got started was I wanted to be known as the lady of the company that I was with, as the only one in my town as that person who was in the company. So people would know, as soon as they saw Camellia, they would know exactly which company I was with. They knew exactly what product or service I sold. And what I recommend that you do is that you do that. So what are some tips, and what do I mean by that? Well, you look in the newspaper and you find like networking groups. You find a couple different networking groups that you go to in the morning. Sometimes they have sundowners at night. Sometimes they have events at different times of the days, different times of the years. But you know, what you want to do is you want to find two or three networking companies that you can go into and network with other individuals. But here's the key to that. You don't just show up every now and then. You don't just show up whenever it's good for your schedule. You need to show up. If that networking group meets every single Monday at 6 o'clock, then that is your time that you go there. That's your business time. That's where you network with these people and get to know who you are, because it's the spaced repetition. It's you going over and over and over and over again that they get to know that it's, you know, who you are. They get to know what company you represent. And that way you build rapport in your community. You want to be known as the lady or the man of your industry. You want them to know exactly what you do, exactly what you sell. And the only way for you to do that is to go to different networking groups. I used to go to three different networking groups every single month. And one of them was once a month. Another one was twice a month. The other one was four times a month. And that's what I did. And I had so many referrals from that business, and still to this day, people call me and say, Kim, are you still with this company?
You know, Kim, I think it's important, too, that people realize that when they go to networking events like that, that it's a give-and-take atmosphere. So many people, like you referenced, will just go to one, and they'll show up, and man, their goal is to talk to every single person in that room and have every single person in that room, you know, be a user of their product. In other words, I used to take sort of a different approach. I would go to events like that, and my goal was just to meet five or six people and to get their cards and to find out more what they did. You know, and I just got it from Dale Carnegie. I became a good listener, and I found out what was important to them, and it shocked them, and I did this a lot. I would call them the next day and say they were, you know, say they were a window cleaner, I would call up and say, hey, I ran into somebody today. I don't know if you remember me. We met at the networking breakfast yesterday, and I've got a lead for you. And believe me, nobody calls somebody else with leads. The only reason anybody calls anybody else is because they want their business. But if you provide more value first, believe me, you will be different. Our point here is just be different, and people will want to do business with you. And, you know, we're just sharing some concepts with you here, some gems that we wanted to make sure that we covered, things that have been important to us, ideas that have been important to us. And one thing that we constantly do, the three of us constantly do, is a concept called plan, do, and review. And this is a very simple thing, but we want to know that if we're going to be doing this business, that we're getting better along the way. And the whole concept here is that you plan out what you're going to do. Let's say we're having a meeting. We plan it out. We go to that meeting. We execute it, and then we review it. So the three of us will sit down, and on one side of the paper, we'll write what worked, and on the other side of the paper, we'll write what didn't work. For instance, just as an example, say you went to a meeting and there was no music and you think there should definitely be music at a meeting, I would write, hey, didn't work, they didn't have good music. Or the stories from the stage or the presenter went for 2 hours, but we're constantly plan, do, and review. And because we're in this business and we want to cut down our learning curve, just like we're recommending that you cut your learning curve as much as possible. So plan, do, review. Plan out what you're going to do, do it, and then look at how you can get better for next time.
Well, Steve, here's a real gem. You know, we met in this industry at an event around the event. And here's the big gem that I think that has increased our business and that has kept our business running and running. And it's all about relationships. You hear this, and this is where you have the relationships. It's around the event. It's not the meeting. It's the meeting after the meeting, as we call it. Or it's the retreats that you go on with your team. It's the cruises that your company might hold. It's the vacations or whatever it might be. You know, that's where I met you. That's where I met your brother. That's where we became great friends. That's where I met Michael Klaus, that's where I met Tom Woods. So many of the mentors in this business, that's where I met them. That's where I got to know the gems that they, you know, they can only say so much from stage. We can only tell you so much and give you advice from stage. But when you can just get us, you know, in an environment that's comfortable and that we're just relaxing, you can get so many different gems. So please, here's a good gem. Stick around after the event. Be the last person to leave the event. Be the first person at the event. And if somebody comes into town, a speaker comes into town, and you have the ability, and somebody says somebody needs to pick them up, pick them up. This is so, so important. I used to pick up every single person that came into town because I would ask, can I pick them up? Can I please pick them up? Can I take them to the airport? Can I do that? And believe me, I did it in my beat up car with Michael Klaus, and it was really embarrassing at first, but I told him that someday I'll have a Lexus just like he does. But I'm serious. If you have that chance, ask the person who's in charge, say, can I please pick him up this time? Can I please pick her up this time? Because you'll get so much in that 30 minutes, 40 minutes to and from the airport.
You know, Kim, that's so right. You know, just like you said, you know, don't, if you have that chance, make that chance happen. You know, I believe in luck, but you've got to make your own luck. We've all heard the harder I work, the luckier I get, you know. And when you're talking about getting to know the people in your industry, remember, the law of association says you become like the people you hang around with. I promise you this, that most of the leaders in your company are very accessible to you, but you're not going to be able to get them when the crowds are around, and that's why you stay after the event. You know, whenever we go to a real big event, I mean, we go in a day early and we stay a day late. You know, we didn't just start doing that after we were making the big bucks. We actually employed that as a strategy fairly early on. The reason was we knew if we got to hang around with the big money makers, that would somehow rub off on us. We didn't know all the ways it would happen, but it certainly has.
Thanks, Mike. Another gem is just something that that I think is natural. It's common sense, but it's something that I'd like to share is time will promote you or expose you. In other words, people will find out what you're all about over time. And recently, one of our national conventions, somebody was walking across stage, and like always, my brother stood up and he was cheering and clapping. And I figured, you know, this has got to be somebody that he met when I wasn't around. I said, "Who's that?" He said, "I have no idea, but no one else was clapping for him, so I figured I better." Right? And the concept there is that we love when people applaud for us. We love when we get standing ovations. It makes us feel like we're helping people and that what we're doing is a good thing. And so do unto others as you want to have people do unto you. If you want people cheering for you, then you better cheer for other people, whether you know them or not. And I believe that just like Dale Carnegie says in his book, our goal is to make other people feel important.
As we travel around, people are always asking us, how can they stay plugged into us and things like that. One of the things that Steve and I started really literally when we were getting started was running a leadership call. We did it because the first sponsors we had ran a leadership call. So when we were off on our own, there we were, you know. We ran a leadership call. In the beginning, it was every Sunday night. It still is every Sunday night. There were only 6 or 7 people called in, but we ran that call. Now, a couple of things about it. Number one, it's called a leadership call. So right away, when people are getting on it, they're beginning to see themselves as leaders. Here's what I know about this industry. We're really in the business, among other things, of finding leaders. Every time you find a leader, that person's going to bring 1,000 people, you know, and you just find them. Sometimes you develop, you know, natural leadership ability that's there, but most of the time, most of the leaders on our team, I look around now, they were leaders before they got here.
You know, Mike, the conference calls that we do, I think they have the same sort of purposes as the weekly meetings and the conventions. Is I know that this is a 3 to 5 year plan. Okay. Now you might have gone through your learning curve in other places, and you might have success much faster than that. But it takes, in my opinion, about 3 to 5 years to be really successful, to learn the skills, to apply the skills, and to build a team of people that see it the way that you see it and move forward and have a lot of success. It takes about 3 to 5 years to go to the top of a network marketing company, in my opinion. Now our job as leaders is to create an environment that's conducive to them wanting to stay. An environment where there's friendships, an environment where they enjoy themselves, an environment where they're laughing and they're crying, an environment where, hey, we go to Vegas and we might play together. We go to on a cruise to Mexico. Whatever it is, it's your job is to create those environments. And one thing that having Kim on the team has been great for us is she's a great organizer. You know, we've always had some great ideas and some great enthusiasm, but Kim is great at putting the pen to paper and planning a lot of things out. And one thing that we do is whenever our company gets together, we have a Sunday night dinner. Now, most people have gone and they've taken planes home, but our core leaders stay, and we have a Sunday night dinner together. And I've heard it said that the teams that play together stay together.
You know, Steve, I would like to just answer this question to a lot of the listeners. They're probably saying, you know, what are you reading now, or what are some of your favorite books? And I remember my favorite book. I was, again, talking to my mentor, one of the best mentors that I've had in this business, Michael Klaus, and I guess I was having an issue with believing. And I had a long conversation with him, and at the end of that conversation, he said, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to go out and get the book Magic of Believing by Claude Bristol. And I'm telling you, again, it opened my eyes. I sort of saw that light, and I said, wow, I can believe. I can do this. Anyways, that's one of the books that I recommend. If I could recommend a book to you at the very beginning of your career, or if you just need a book to say, is it real that if I believe that it could possibly come true, this book has done so much for me, and I've read it over and over again.
You know, Kim, what you're saying is so important. When Steve and I first started out again, there we were driving around in his Geo, and for economic's sake, when he first bought that Geo, he didn't have a radio or a cassette player in it. You know, later on, we used to lug around a big cassette player to listen to the training tapes our company had. But early on in the business, we were always reading. So we'd go off, whether we were just driving maybe 20 minutes to the weekly meeting, or we're driving over to Long Island, which that sometimes could be a couple of hours drive from New Jersey, we would bring a book with us, and we would literally read from the book to each other. I mean, we have one copy of The Magic of Thinking Big that is so torn up. It's got coffee stains on it. It's been folded here. It's been read. I mean, that book has to have been read about, I don't know, 50, 60 times, and we're not finished with it. You know, when I go on a road, when I'm hitting the road, I'll take my backpack, and I'll always put an extra 2 or 3 books in the backpack just so, A, I've got something else to read. But, you know, you're on that airplane, you're on a 3 or 4 hour airplane ride, and you just take one of those books out that maybe you've read before, but when you're reading it, I swear, you know, you think they put a new chapter in it, because every step along the way, you hear new stuff. And, you know, some of the books that we've read that we recommend, obviously you heard us talk about Dale Carnegie, you know, and How to Win Friends and Influence People, Napoleon Hill. One of my favorite books that I recently reread was Selling the Dream by Guy Kawasaki from Apple fame. And Steve, you know, I'll say this, in terms of many of us now, you've heard about the Rich Dad, Poor Dad series. I loved this when I was reading it, because someone asked me a question at one of the events, you know, what's your advice for the average distributor about such and such and such and such? And I remembered something I had read in Rich Dad, Poor Dad. They said to Rich Dad, what's your advice for the average investor? And his advice was this: Don't be average. And that's my advice for the average distributor. Don't be average. You don't want to be average. You want to be part of that top 20% and then part of that top 4%. And I'll tell you, this is one big clue. The books you read, the seminars you attend, and the tapes that you listen to are going to make all the difference.
As well, Mike, as the people that you hang around, it's so, so important that you're around people that not only believe in you, but that you have that kind of relationship where you can be yourself, and it's a safe environment for growth. And I was watching an interview recently with Oprah Winfrey, and the interviewer asked Oprah Winfrey, when did she think her first break was? And Oprah smiled back at the interviewer and said, I don't really believe in breaks. She said, I believe that luck is when preparedness meets opportunity. And I've been training on that for years. And when I heard Oprah say it, I thought, oh, I'm in the right place. And I'm thinking the right way. But Oprah went on to say that she mentally prepared, and she prepared on her career for years and years. So when opportunities arose, she took advantage of them, and she wasn't lucky at all. And I believe that when we're talking about on this tape series is preparing yourself by the books that you read, the tapes that you listen to, the people that you hang around with, you're preparing yourself for success. If you want to attract people, you must first become attractive. So what does that mean? It means continually working on yourself. When we first got started in this business, Mike, you reminded me of a sign that you had seen over a gymnasium that you worked out at, and it said, check your ego at the door. And so what we decided to do is, and it was tough. I mean, here we are, you're 42, I'm 24. We're living with our sister, and, you know, rent-free, things didn't look so up, and we're driving to meetings in our in the Geo Metro, and after a year or so, it started to squeak, and it was embarrassing. I remember we had to, many times, park down the street at a different hotel, and we would walk through the alleys to the hotel. And Kim, we understood the concept of being the last ones to leave, but we didn't know why we were doing it. We just thought we were doing it so no one saw our car at that time. But luck is when preparedness meets opportunity. How prepared are you going to be when you could meet that next person that would or could go to the top of your company if they wanted to get in business with you? When they look at you, are they going to want to get in business with you? That question's up to you.
You know, Steve, and one of the, you know, right along there, it all comes around to attitude and things like that. And I like, you know, myself, my personally, I believe in having an attitude of gratitude, being a grateful person. Because the seeds you plant, what you send out comes back to you. As you sow, so shall you reap. You know, and as we begin to wrap up here, I mean, I would like to, one of the people I'd really like to personally thank for inspiring us to get in the studio and do this is our good friend Michael Klaus. You know, many of you know Michael. He's the author of Future Choice. Michael, you know, he recommended us. He listened to us train several times. He said, you know, I've known you guys for several years now. I think it's time for you guys to get in the studio and get what you've got to offer people out on tape, out on the audio series. So personally, I'd like to thank Michael and also recommend to our listeners, you know, plug into this guy, what he has to offer. He's one of the top network marketers and really one of the top experts in the field of network marketing. And before we give you our website and tell you how you can get in touch with us, I'm going to give you Michael's. It's this. It's nexera.com. That's N-E-X-E-R-A.com. And I think you'll find what we found, that it's a valuable resource for your ongoing learning and development in the network marketing industry.
Okay, Mike, and I'll give, while we're giving out websites, while they get their pen and paper out, I'll give ours out, and it's meliabros.com, just like it sounds, M-E-L-I-A, Melia, bros, like two brothers, B-R-O-S.com, meliabros.com, and we thought of that one ourselves.
Okay, great. Well, this is what our advice to you is right now, is to take this tape out, put tape one back in, and listen to the whole thing over again, and listen to it over and over and over again until. We would like to thank you so much for listening to us and our stories and our successes, and we wish you all the best.